And today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 49. That's when Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We live in an era when information is pressed upon us from every side. We're super saturated with it. Some cope with it very well, almost revel in it. Last time we travelled to Brisbane by train, the carriage was packed and all of the people there were glued to their smartphone or tablet computer for the entire trip. There was no mind space at all for ordinary things like conversation. Instead, we're being pounded by someone else's latest idea. These days, nobody is quite sure what we can believe anymore. Most of us hadn't heard about the term fake news before it was used by Donald Trump. He seemed to be claiming that his Democrat opponents were making up stories about him, even putting their own words into his mouth. Really? A little while later, I don't know whether you saw it, a little while later on Australian television, we heard the Democrats themselves demonstrate how it is quite easy to do this. To record enough of their opponent's speech, they use Donald Trump as their example, and to piece words together into something he didn't say at all. It was a strange confession. But we have been hearing, even here in Australia, more about fake news, and it has left us seriously wondering what we can believe, and whether it is reasonable to believe anything we hear on radio or television anymore. How much of it is only fake news? Christ is risen. Across the years, a number of people have tried to dismiss the miraculous in the Easter story, inferring that the story of the resurrection is just fake news after all. It's reported in the Gospels that the guards at the tomb were paid a bribe to spread the story that the disciples had stolen the body during the night and claimed that he was alive. But the disciples were in no frame of mind to do such a thing. They are in a state of utter shock. They seemed quite sure that Jesus wouldn't die. Couldn't die. No way. They hadn't grasped what his coming was all about and the necessity for the crucifixion. To pay the ultimate price for human sinfulness, And their thinking had no place for a resurrection either, even though Jesus had told them that he would rise again. More recently, it's been suggested that Jesus swooned and that he revived in the cool of the tomb. This doesn't make sense of what we can find out about the Roman scourging that preceded crucifixion. This was so severe that many died before the crucifixion had taken place. In John 19, we read that they were breaking the legs of those crucified to hasten death, so that all be dead before the Passover feast. However, when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. None of these modern reconstructions bear the stamp of likelihood. In 1941, a German New Testament scholar and theologian by the name of Rudolf Bultmann published a paper in which he asserted that the resurrection itself is not an event of past history. The event of Easter Day, he claimed, is nothing else except the rise of faith in the risen Lord. What he is suggesting is that Jesus didn't really rise from the grave, that the disciples came to believe that he was nevertheless alive. As you can imagine, Bultmann's view stirred up a major controversy. However, we must look at the record carefully. No one is questioning the brutality and horror of Roman crucifixion. To take the account seriously, the rise of faith, as Bultmann calls it, was impossible without the real evidence that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And Thomas wasn't the only one who was insisting on that sort of evidence. They were there. They saw and tested the factual truth of the evidence. And for them, the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus was vitally important for their understanding of the divine purpose in the crucifixion of the Son of God. And the good results, the forgiveness of sins that follow for all believers from the historical fact of the crucifixion. Then Jesus said to them, "These are the very things I told you about when I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true." Now, I decided this morning I wasn't going to bring my Hebrew Bible with me. It's about as thick as that. It's got Hebrew writing on the back, which reads, Torah Nevi'im U'Ketuvim, which means law, prophets, and writings. That's the name that they have for what we call the Old Testament. The Hebrew scriptures are divided into three major sections: the law, the prophets, and the writings. The book of Psalms is the first of the writings. So Jesus is affirming that the whole message of Scripture is pointing towards his life and ministry. It had to come true. Or literally, it was fulfilled or completed in him. The word fulfilled means completed. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Oh, to be a fly on the wall. What do you think, you people who go to KYB or other Bible studies? Wouldn't that have been amazing? Amazing as Jesus spoke about the whole of the scriptures and how they were fulfilled in him. There are, of course, a number of specific passages and texts that immediately come to our minds. We think of passages like Isaiah 53. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions, all of that. Psalm 22. Don't know if you know Psalm 22. Read it through. It's amazing. It speaks so clearly of the suffering Jesus endured. Or Psalm 16, 8-10, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost as pointing to the Messiah's resurrection. But this was far more than a collection of proof texts. The Lord was giving them an understanding of the essential message of the scriptures, which had to do with the seriousness of human sin. You know, that comes through, if you've read the Old Testament, that comes through again and again. The people of God just didn't get it. That's why they end up in Babylon and other places, because they just haven't been paying attention. The seriousness of human sin. The action of God in providing an appropriate sacrifice for sin. We've thought about the fact as they were coming out of Egypt and were wandering through the wilderness, they had all their tents set up, and in the middle was what we call the tabernacle. That's God's tent. But you know something? It smelled. Smelled of all the sacrifices. And when the temple was built in Jerusalem, same thing. There has to be a sacrifice, but sin is serious. And the gracious call of God for people to repent of their sins. You know, again and again you see in the Old Testament prophets, they were calling the people of God back to him, to repent and come back once again, to receive forgiveness and to live on the basis of a new relationship with God. Yes. There are individual texts that come to our minds, but these are core themes of the biblical message. In Jesus, they are fulfilled, completed. You are witnesses of these things, Jesus tells them. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus had gone back to his hometown Nazareth. He read in the synagogue from Isaiah 62 and told the people, "This passage of scripture has come true," or literally, "It has been fulfilled or completed." This scripture has been fulfilled today, as you heard it being read. Now the risen Jesus is saying to his 11 closest followers, together at least with the two from Emmaus, that the whole of scripture has been fulfilled in him, in his life, death, and resurrection. And they are the ones who are the witnesses. They've seen it happen. They know it is true. It is up to them now to get the message out. But they don't face this task alone and unsupported. "And I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you." The task cannot begin until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. Do you know when that is? Next Sunday. Next Sunday is Pentecost. They are to carry into the world God's offer of life. That's what is so incredible about what has happened. On our side, we've taken God's one and only Son. We've had him put to death by the most brutal means imaginable. And now God is saying, repent and believe in Jesus. And on the basis of his death, your sins are forgiven. Task isn't finished, of course. The commission has been passed on to us, to the church of today. We are the witnesses. The scriptures have been fulfilled. The message about repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations. The task is still impossible without the power from above. So by faith, receive the good news. By faith, live it out authentically day by day. By faith, reach out to others about Jesus. We are not alone. He has promised to be with us always, and his Spirit empowers us. Christ is risen. This is the very best good news. Let's not hold it to ourselves. Let's reach out to the world about us, despairing and discouraged, with God's offer of life. Amen.